We continue with our series in 1 John, and today we're looking at 1 John chapter 5. If you have your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, and we start from verse 6 to 12. And this series is about knowing God. And we thank God that we are getting there. More and more, we're getting to know God. And as Craig said at the beginning, Daniel says, those who know their God will do exploits. Amen. And we're hoping, God, that as we go through this, at the end of it, we'll be doing exploits in Marysville for the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 to 12. This is he who come by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. Because the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son, God, the Son of God, has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. But whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still continuing with our mini series, Spiritual Warfare. And today's title is Having a Gospel Testimony. Hallelujah. Our desire and prayer is that by the time we live here, we will know that we are a living gospel testimony for the Lord. Amen. And as part of my introduction, I want us to look at Jesus Christ, the one that we bore testimony about. And I have 3 points and a conclusion. As a typical Baptist. My first point, we'll look at God's own testimony about His Son. The second one will be the testimony of the people of the Bible, just a few of them, about God's Son. And the third point, which is the key one, is your own testimony about the Son of God. And I would like to conclude by saying there's a benefit for everyone who has this testimony, and that is eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, as Craig introduced us into this book, in this church, was a problem. The problem is that some of the members of the church left as a result of trying to acquire knowledge in this world. And in the process of doing that, they got contaminated. And the very apostles' teaching that they received, they went against it. They turned it upside down. And that's why our brother and elder, old man John, is writing. And specifically, he's dealing with the whole issue of the water and the blood. Because that was the key issue. And so as he is concluding, he brings it up. If we look at the passage we read some weeks ago in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and now many Antichrists, not just Antichrists, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that
they were not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. And all you have, and all of you have knowledge. I write to you because you do not, because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And to me, that is key. I'm writing to you. I'm not writing a new thing. It's the same thing. Not that you don't have the knowledge, but because you have it. I'm just emphasizing it. And because no lie is of the truth. Whoever, who is the liar then? But who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And that is the key thing. Those who deny, these people, when they went out, they came back to deny that Jesus is the Christ. And I will explain why, how they did it. This is the Antichrist. Whoever denies that Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Son of man, is the Christ, is now an Antichrist. Because he's fighting against the Son of God. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning, and he comes to that point, what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Now, brothers, you see, the apostles spent time giving teachings about what Christ has done for every believer. And if you remember in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, those who believed, the 3,000 who believed, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, some went out into Gnosticism, just acquiring knowledge. And in the process, they picked out some elements of Judaism and brought it. Now, the apostles had taught them that Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised one. But then in Judaism, even today, people were looking because they were basing on the last chapter of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5, when God said, I will send Elijah. So they were saying, since Elijah went in the chariot, you remember that one? He went. He will come in the same way. So they are waiting until one day when God will come, somebody from the Lord will come in a chariot to introduce the Son of God, the Christ. And so since Jesus has been born, they saw him. And when Jesus started his ministry, they were saying that, okay, when Jesus came into his ministry through the baptism, that is the water. Through the water, he entered into the ministry. Now, they were saying that at that point, those who believe that the Christ has come, believe that then a force from somewhere came upon Jesus. And so, Jesus was no longer Jesus. There's a deity, there's something else, the Christ who had come. And by the time Jesus went on the cross, this thing just vanished in the thin air. And so it is not this Jesus who came to the through the baptism into the ministry who went onto the cross. So there was a big confusion there. And our brother is saying, no, don't believe in that. These people are full of knowledge that is taking us nowhere. Jesus came by the water. They all believe that. And then he says, and I go back to where we were reading, he says, verse 6, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. So he was saying, it is this Jesus, the Son of Man, who was born, who lived with us, is the same Jesus that went through the fire and did his ministry and went to the cross. Nothing changed. It's the same. So in this, in a way, what they're denying is that, well, we agree, Jesus, yeah, ordinary person, but it's not Jesus who is the Son of God. So they are denying that. And so you will see,
that in chapter 5, verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, he comes back to it and says, if you are born of God, 5 verse 1, everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ, can you see that? Is born of God. This is the basic teaching. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one, the Messiah, the promised one, you are born of God. Some even doubted Jesus because they couldn't understand how God will come to this life and die. And so some even didn't believe in Jesus coming in the flesh. And Craig led us into that. We talked about it. That Jesus came in the flesh to become like us so that he will understand our way of life. But it's the same Jesus, the Son of Man, who went through the water and the blood when he died on the cross. So when our brother says in verse 6, this is he, Jesus Christ, who came by water and by the blood. Not only by the water, but also by water and the blood. The two go together. And I like the way Dr. Michael Eaton puts it. He says, the Ephesian heretics denied some of the basics of the gospel. It seems that their teaching, these heretics, their teaching was that the divine Christ, that is a divine non-material spirit being, came upon Jesus at the time of his being baptized in the River Jordan. Then they said, the divine Christ that came when Jesus was being baptized left him before he died on the cross. So it was to them, it was not Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one who was in the flesh, who died on the cross. Can you see the contradiction? What they are trying to confuse people. Rather, it was just a mere man. Jesus. Of course, all of this was a radical rewriting of the gospel. So the Christ, they said, came to us in water baptism, but the death of Jesus, who in their opinion was somebody different, had nothing to do with salvation. Brothers, this may sound a bit complicated, but the crux of the matter is that Scripture teaches us that Jesus is a full man. Amen. In his humanity, Jesus was a full man. At the same time, Jesus was a full God. Amen. And we need to be very careful. I'm emphasizing this because even in the last days, some of these things are coming over and over. And I want to say that, brothers and sisters, we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Somebody told me, somebody who had worked in the bank for many years, he said, if you work in the bank, for you to really be able to know what a counterfeit is, they train you about the real money. They never show you anything about counterfeit. You get the real one. And with time, as you get used to this money as it is, whether it's 10 rand, 20, 100 or 200 rand, as you get to know it, they begin to introduce counterfeit. And because you know the real one, you easily spot the counterfeit. Amen. These days, because of knowledge, like the people at that time, because of knowledge, there's a lot on the internet. There's a lot on cell phones, even movies. There's a lot that are antichrist. There are even Bible, there are some churches you go into, they hold on to the Bible, and yet they deny that Jesus, the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's an important point for us. And Craig was mentioning different codes and all that are happening in this life. Let's not dwell in them. Let's dwell in the Word of God. There are times when you see people, especially when you're walking in town, with booklets and say, no, this is Watchtower and all that. I want you to know that even though they seem to be reading from the Bible, they deny Jesus Christ. The Mormons do the same.
They deny Jesus Christ. There's something called oneness Pentecostal. They deny Jesus Christ. Unification Church. There are a number of them. They deny Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying this morning is, this is the basic thing. That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He was born. And there were promises. There were a lot of prophecies to that point. And he came into this world. And he was baptized. And I will go into the second point when I'm talking about the testimony of God about Jesus. God confirmed that. He was baptized. And when he came, he began his ministry. But it's this same Jesus Christ who came in the flesh, who came to save the world, that went to the cross. He died. He died to save us. These are basics of Christianity, and we need to hold on. I remember someone coming to me, a young person, and asking, Papa Benson, are you sure? Are you sure Jesus? So nothing happened. Then I realized that this person was reading certain books. So I said, what have you been reading? And he mentioned, no, I got a book from some people in the street, the watchtowers. And they are saying that Jesus is not God. He's a small God. But because in their Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved, in the beginning was the Word, John 1. And the Word was God. They put a small G there. Amen. And so we need to establish that fact before we even move forward. Who do you believe in? Is it Jesus of Nazareth? The one who took human flesh, that he can understand who we are. That's the whole reason. To understand us. Though he never sinned, but he understands. In fact, when you are before him lying, he knows, he understands. And he has pity on you. Sometimes we do the same thing. No, we won't do it again. We come and do the same. He understands. And he shows his love for us by his own grace. And that's the key point that we need to know about this Jesus we are talking about this morning in terms of testimony. God gave testimony. That's my first point about him. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus went to be baptized. In fact, there was argument. John didn't want to baptize him. And he said, I need to be baptized by you, and you do come to me. But Jesus answered in verse 15, let it be so now, for that is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove who rested on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Amen. So here is God attesting to the fact that Jesus is my Son. He is not just a son of man who had nowhere to lay his head, but he is my Son. And I'm so pleased with him. How can God, the God of all, come and be baptized? Normally, we are baptized that we declare to everyone that we are sinners. And want to die with our sins and rise up. Jesus went through that. He humbled himself for us. He also identified with us. Not that he is a sinner, but he also identified with us. And then God, by immersing in the water, he was also typifying or showing that he's going to die and he will rise up again. Hallelujah. And this is the Jesus we have. These are some things that we know over and over and again, but we need to hold on to them. And that's why John is saying, the very things you heard from the beginning, hold on to them. Nothing can change that. Amen. And no one in the world has ever done that. And so God confirmed Jesus' deity. He is my son. He is my son. He confirmed that. He is my son. Brothers, we are not just serving a mere man. If you check on all religions, all the various religions in the world, right from the beginning to the end, there's no one who died and rose again. There's no one that any voice spoke or God confirming that he is my son, but Jesus. That's the Jesus we are serving. And this is taking us into deeper things. It's not, sometimes we make Jesus out to be an ordinary thing, and I've mentioned it before. There are times some people, Jesus is a swear word. They drop something and they say Jesus. No, it's not by Jesus. It's Jesus, the Son of God, that we are serving. The Son of God, who came from heaven to earth to show us the way to the Father. That's the one we are serving, and we need to accept that. Dr. Michael Eaton says again, by Jesus getting baptized, he says it was God's way of telling Jesus he will be the sovereign servant, which Isaiah spoke about. And Isaiah said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. Can you imagine that? This is the one I've chosen to save my people. That's the one. That's Jesus we're talking about here. That's Jesus we're talking about. He's the Christ, the Savior. Then Jesus started his ministry. A lot of things were happening. In fact, Nicodemus, who was one of the leaders of the church, realized that no, this man is from God. And he went to God, Jesus one night. He didn't want to be seen by the other guys. The Pharisees, he went to Jesus and said, I know you are a man from God. You are the Son of God. How can I get to the Father? He says, you must be born again. And Jesus began doing miracles. People could see that. Then one day, he took Peter, James, and John with him to the Mount of Transfiguration. And before their own eyes, there was Moses. And there was Elijah, Moses representing the law, and Moses the prophets. And the Bible in Matthew chapter 17 says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright light cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Amen. That's Jesus, our Jesus. God confirming again, once again, at this critical moment, that he is my son. To prepare him for what lies ahead, because he was just about to go to the cross. To say, so far, you've done it. I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you, because you are going to do it. And the Bible says, when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise, have no fear. And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mount, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciple asked him, then why do the scribes say Elijah must come first? And this is where Jesus is explaining that the Jewish are wrong. Those who are still waiting to see Elijah come from the sky, they are wrong. He says, they are asking, why are the scribes saying that Elijah must come first? He answered, yes, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So the Son of Man was certainly suffer in their hands. Hallelujah. So you see, Jesus came and they didn't even recognize. The forerunner, John the Baptist, came, who is a form of Elijah. They never recognized that. This is all confirming that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Thirdly, apart from God himself confirming and testifying that Jesus is the Son of God, the disciples themselves testified.
And some biblical figures also testified. And I want us to look at John, the one that is writing in his gospel, John chapter 1. He said this, "And the Word became flesh," verse 14 of John 1, "and dwelt amongst us." Here he's saying, the Word, God himself, dwelt amongst us in the flesh, so that he could identify with us, as I pointed out. "And we have seen his glory, glory as the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before them because he was before me. And from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the only God who is at the Father's side, and that is Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Brothers, we need to know that this Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Savior of the whole world. No one, and he himself said, that no one comes to the Father but by me. We are living in a world where it's so sad that sometimes because of things and trying to be politically right, even our Bible, we don't want anyone to know that what I'm holding is a Bible. Sometimes that temptation is there. There are times we don't even want people to know that we are the children of God. John is saying Jesus is the Son of God. And God bears testimony about him and the disciples themselves. Even Peter. If you remember, one day Jesus was walking with his disciples. And they came to a place. And Jesus asked them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Oh, some say Elijah, this. And he says, "Who do you say I am?" And the Bible says, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father in heaven." And so John is also attesting to the fact that Jesus is Lord. And in his own writing, in Second Peter, Peter is saying, "For when he received," that is 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 17, "for when he received honor and glory from the Father, we were eyewitnesses to that. And the voice was borne to him the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I'm pleased.'" So brothers, what I'm saying this morning is, John wants us to know who this Jesus is, so that we know who we have and put our faith in him, that nothing around us will change anything. But the key thing is that Jesus is in us, and we need to bear witness. We need to bear the testimony about this Jesus that is in us. And that is the most important thing. If you remember, even the centurion on the cross, when the curtains opened, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I want to ask you this morning, have you given your life to this Son of God? If you have, then you have the testimony. And this testimony must not just live in you. You must take it out. That is the key thing. That's where I'm pointing to. That this testimony should not just be in you, but it must be born. It must go out. Just like the disciples did.
and the people of God did, and God himself did. When I became a Christian, I was challenged by a scripture. And it's in Psalm 107. And I like it from the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, Psalm 107 verse 1 and 2. It says, "Say thank you to the Lord for being so good, for always being so loving and kind. Has the Lord redeemed you?" That's the challenge. "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies." In the ESV, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." The question is, has the Lord saved you? Then you need to make him known to others. People are living in darkness in this life. Once we were in darkness. We did things that sometimes when you reflect on them, you are ashamed of. But the question is, the Lord saved us. And I think Craig mentioned about 2 weeks ago that when God saved us, he didn't take us straight to heaven. Otherwise, immediately you get saved, you should die and go to heaven. But God leaves us in this world that we will be a testimony for him. We will be a testimony. Sometimes we find it even difficult in our own families to present this testimony that is in us. But we have to do that. And so this year, even as a Grace Generation, our prayer is that even here in Scottsville, we will make the Lord known. We will make this testimony in us known. The Kingdom Kids, they normally sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine." This little, it's not big, it's very little, but I'm going to make it shine. This testimony that is in me, that the Lord says he has given us, we need to make it shine. We need to make it known to people in Peter respect. And the Lord is able to help us. "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Let everyone know that he has redeemed you." In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, verse 13, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." Verse 15, "But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you." We should be ready to tell others about what Jesus has done in your life. You know, there are times we do well, we tell what God has done in our lives, but we fail to point people to the one who made a change. "Oh no, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to do that, I used to do that." But we need to point them to the cross. And that's the testimony we are talking about. That this Jesus who died on the cross, died for me, and he has changed my life. I want to ask you, do we take this testimony to other people? There are many ways of doing that. Even in our workplace, if the Lord, this testimony is in you, the way you work is different. Sometimes people ask, but why? Why do you, everybody is going, but you are gathering things still around. Why? Because this Jesus is in you. There are times, the way, for example, in our church, we have community care project, where we're doing work amongst people who are fractured by HIV. People who are brokenhearted because of HIV. And as we do this with the love of God and this testimony that is in us, they are able to ask, "Why are you doing this?" And we need to point them to the cross. That we're doing this out of the love of God. When people are cheated, when people are abused and everybody rejects them and they come to you, this testimony in you must be shown to the people. And as we do that, we point them to the cross of Jesus, because He has made a change. There are times we need to identify with people and tell them, look, I was once like this, but Jesus touched me. My question to us this morning, as we discuss the testimony in you, is, are we able to bear testimony? Are we able to do that? Do we show this testimony to others, the love of Christ in us? Colossians 4 says, verse 5 and 6, conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders, making the best of use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious. The grace, you see, it's grace that has made us who we are. And as we even speak to people, we must be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you should know how you ought to answer each person. And that's the message John is saying. We have a testimony. It's not just ordinary testimony. It's a gospel testimony. And we need to take it out there. Let your life so shine before men, and they will give glory to God. They will give glory to God. And that's our prayer this morning, that we will let it show, shine before men. There was once when I read something about Augustine, one of the first century theologians, and he said something that I disagree, but with time I agree. He said, preach the gospel at all times. If it becomes necessary, use the Bible. This man, there's something wrong with him. Preach the gospel at all times. Because Paul says, you are the letters. You are a letter. As you go up and down, they read you. They read you. People read you. Because the testimony is in you, you can't hide it. Everybody sees. And so when they come and they want to find out what happened, you tell them the truth about the man who died on the cross for you to change your life. And if we can do this, God, the Bible says that the disciples were people who were not even learned, but they turned the world upside down. If we know God, we will do exploits. And that's our prayer. But as I conclude, I want us to know that this testimony that is in us gives us eternal life. Because verse 11 of our John chapter 5 says, and this is the testimony, God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And this is a word that is sliding away. We don't look into it. Here we are. There is a disease that is coming. We hear people from other places are getting it. And it's moving. It's coming. I remember there was a bird flu some time ago. It's from somewhere. It's coming. Everybody knows it's coming. And they say, there is something that has been made. A small, tiny, something like this. Like this. It will, if you take this, it will mean, it will be immune to that kind of sickness. This. If you take it, it will be a kind of immunization towards the sickness. But you have to take it. If you don't take it, so the immunization, whatever is going to stand the disease, is in this tablet. God has given us eternal life. That eternal life, God has shed it abroad. But this life is in this tiny, tiny something here. If you take it, if you have it, then you have the life, because eternal life is in there. God has given us eternal life, and that life is only in His Son. That life is only in His Son. If you take the Son, you have life. You got it. Nobody can change it. Nobody can ever change that. And you don't pay anything for it. It's free. There was a time I was
facilitating a program, and I told people that I believe everything that is expensive is cheap. Anything that is so expensive, because you cannot buy it, is cheap. They are the essentials of life. And I was telling them that, you see, as a human being, you need food. But food, you can go some days without it. Some can go up to 40. Of course, some of us can go only 2 weeks or even less. But you will survive. Food. There's also water that is very essential in life. Water, if you don't take it, I don't know how many will go, how far. But you can see that water, you go less days than food, isn't it? Now, ask yourself, water and food, which one is more expensive? Water, no, how much do you buy water and how much do you buy food? Food is more expensive, isn't it? But water and food, which is more essential? Water is supposed to be more expensive, but it's cheaper. Is that right? The third thing we need in life is air. Air is very, very important. How far can you go without it? How many days? No days. How many hours? No hours. Some of us cannot go 5 minutes without it. We will be gone. So, air and water, which one is more expensive? Water. But which one is very essential? More essential. Air. How much do you buy it for? Free. The best thing in life is life itself. Salvation, eternal life, is the most important thing, and it's free of charge. God has given it to us. It's only in His Son. If you have the Son, you have it. No one can change that. I'm asking you, even as you sit here, do you have the Son in you? The one who died on the cross. He died and said, I'm dying for you so that your sin is atoned for. If you have Him, you have eternal life. I'm not talking about how long you've been to church. Some of us have gone for a long time. But some people will die in the church without knowing Jesus. Some people will read a lot about Jesus without knowing Him. But He says He died for you. Do you know Him? It's never too late to know Jesus. Brothers, this is not a joke. It's only when you die, then it's finished. But as long as we have life, as long as we have breath, if we believe in Him, He's able to save us. And that's His word for us. God has given us eternal life. And that life is in His Son. No other than that. In His Son. If you have the Son, then you have this eternal life. And no one can take it away from you. Hallelujah. Shall we stand together?